Welcome to Why Am I Laughing? The podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Harrison. With me, as always, is my co-host RJ Sine. We're your in-house comedy gurus who talk about what's funny, why it's funny, and do you think that bears mind that we have a donut named after their fingernails?
I think I would.
You would?
Would you? If we had a small pastry that was filled with peaches and chocolate called...
apples and chocolate.
A bear glove. No, I'm just saying this is a different thing. Hands. I'm trying to think of the equivalent.
Okay, yeah, sure.
There's no chocolate on a bear claw, you dumbass.
Could be. No.
Wouldn't be offended?
No, I would be delighted.
If bears came out and they were like... Well, in response to the bear claw epidemic, we have decided to create Ben hands. They're burnt in the center, and they're filled with old peaches and chocolate. But not the good chocolate, the weird chocolate that we got left over from Valentine's Day.
Well, yeah, if it doesn't taste good, I'm not stoked.
Man, I've had some bad bear paws in my day.
Doubt it. You've never had any bear paws. They're called bear claws.
Oh, dang it. You had that. You messed me up on that because you were saying bear paw.
No, I think that was all you, buddy.
Okay.
Whatever. All right. Well, today we are talking about dry comedy.
Do you think whales are upset that we're called whale pod?
Oh, because that's... Oh. Yes. They're offended.
Excuse me. We've decided to create a podcast called... comedian group. It's about idiots and whatever. You guys are stupid. Bye.
Are you a ghost now? What's going on here?
That was him saying goodbye.
I thought you died and you came back as goodbye. A ghost to haunt me forever on this podcast. I got really worried. Whew. Worst fears have been realized.
But before we get into whale pods... we're going to talk a little bit about the wonderful world of comedy news as narrated by RJ Sains.
Or a whale.
That's stupid. Sure it is.
Okay. All right. So in the You Get a Stand-Up Special news, Netflix has announced specials for Maria Bamford, Norm Macdonald, and Sarah Silverman. Who would have guessed it, Ben? Three more comedians get specials. I can't believe it. Like, literally every week, I'm going, well, okay, there were specials that were announced last week. I doubt I'll have to report on this again. I think it's like 4 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
You get a special. You get a special. Make the same joke every week. Getting sick of this. But my new predictions for who gets the next Netflix special.
Mm-hmm.
John Mulaney. Think he's due.
Yeah.
Dimitri Martin.
He's already got two. And so does Dimitri. He has
yeah,
one.
I mean, they either have one. Mulaney has two. Dimitri at least has one. But mm-hmm. I think they're due for a new one.
Yeah.
And Zach Galifianakis is my sleeper. He's due in general for a special.
I think you're wrong on all accounts.
Okay.
Except for, no, I think.
And good night, everybody.
No, I think you're not wrong about Mulaney and Dimitri, but I don't think Zach.
Why not?
Because
he performs all the time.
He's not Netflix.
Right, I know, but he is Netflix. Like think of that hangover marketing, right? He's got that face. You put him on a freaking poster and people are like, oh, hangover. That's what got me to watch his stand-up at first when I was like, I've never heard of him. I saw the hangover, watched his stand-up, it changed everything. Forget his stupid roles in that movie. His stand-up is so good, and I would love to see.
Yeah, I'm not knocking on a stand-up or anything. I just...
You don't think it's mainstream?
I don't think Netflix would be like, that's something we want to pump out. But I could be wrong.
I mean, did you see Louis C.K.'s latest stand-up?
Not yet.
I think, you know what, if you could like that.
Is it a different style?
No, it's very similar. I mean, just...
To Zach?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Dark, dry... Zach's more off the wall, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, also go check out Louis C.K.'s stand-up special. Very funny. Whoa. We've already talked about how it came out, and I watched it, and it was great.
2017.
That's the one. That's what it's titled.
Spoiler alert for Zach Galifianakis. We might be talking about him later in the pod.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
I just wanted everyone to know that.
I didn't know that. You just ruined it for me. So thanks
a lot.
I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. Well, I said spoilers, so screw you.
Yeah, well, whatever. In book news, what? What?
I thought we burned all of those.
Not yet, baby.
In Kindle news.
Give Trump a few more months. Maybe we'll get those books burnt. Judd Apatow's new book, Sicker in the Head, was just announced. And if you didn't know, this is a sequel to his previous book called Sick in the Head.
Mm.
Get that? It's not sicker, it's sick. Maybe he'll have sickest in the head. Wow. And then the most sickerest. I don't know.
You should be on his writing team.
Unfortunately, I tried.
No,
The first book was very good. I got it, and mm-hmm. he's got these interviews with people like Steve Martin, Gary Shandling, Harold Ramis, Jim Carrey, Seinfeld, Louis C.K., Jimmy Fallon, Sarah Silverman.
That's sweet.
A lot of amazing interviews that span decades of him literally just like a tape recorder, like, oh, could I get an interview and just talk with them about comedy?
Yeah.
So some really interesting and rare conversations, certainly.
That's a good recommend.
As I choke on my own thought. Yes, it is a good recommendation. And you know what? If you happen to pick it up at the local Barnes and Nobes,
Don't put it down.
Steal shoplift.
We both went through the same thing.
Mind meld. Get yourself a scone and shoplift that mother sucker.
Excellent.
Okay. Also, some controversial movie news, Ben.
Mm.
Do you know the movie Aladdin?
I'm always up for some controversy. Yes, the 1996 Disney classic.
Oh, good pull, Mr. IMDb.
Is it six?
Let it slide. Don't look it up.
I'm looking it up currently.
Okay. Well, then listen to what I'm saying.
I can't stop.
I'm just saying still listen.
Yeah, it's in my headphones. I couldn't stop listening if I tried.
Groomer has it that Mr. Will Smith...
Groomer has it.
Yeah, you never heard of that show? It was like on Animal Planet or something.
It's like, what?
It's about...
Oh, it is a real show?
Yeah, it's okay. Like a pet groomer. I don't want to get into it, but there's rumor...
Oh, man, you spelled Aladdin wrong, and there's no way I'm going to spell Aladdin right. I'm just going to look up... Sorry, I'm... just keep talking about groomers.
Okay, this is why I told you not to look it up, because then you don't listen to what I'm saying.
I'm listening.
Okay, whatever. You know what? I'm not even going to say it. You don't even care.
RJ, this is oh my gosh, it's a podcast to millions of people. You're abandoning them because I'm across the table from you not listening.
Nah, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay, Will Smith is in talks for the role in the live action Aladdin film as the genie.
But what?
I know.
That doesn't work.
A real controversy, as you would say, because we all know. Oh, come on.
I was way off.
Oh, jeez. You're disgusting.
I know.
You looked it up just to be wrong. Ugh, not even worth it. Wasted all this time. Robin Williams is the genie. Like, he is the genie. And I mean, I don't even know. You think about these things as you go to sleep. Who could be the genie?
Okay, I can see where they're going. I can see where they're going. Because Will Smith... Like, you know, he has the capability, just as same as Robin Williams, to be an excellent actor, but he also has, like, that really fast... It's not Robin Williams by any stretch, but he, like... Think about Fresh Prince days. Like, can go, like,
he's
mile a minute.
He's quick and mile a minute. He definitely has some, like, unique throw to his mm-hmm. voice at times. I will say you lost me at impressions. Name one impression that Will Smith can do. And name all 100 impressions that Robin Williams did in that film.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily, like, impressions isn't something that is integral.
Yes.
Is that, I'm saying that right?
Integral.
To the genie character. It's more just, like, flowing stream of consciousness saying everything as it's coming to your mind.
Right. But it's undeniable the improvised impressions that came out as a result.
Yeah, but like if you're watching his performance as the genie and he's like, you know, going a mile a minute and saying like, everyone getting ready for this, it's gonna be great, blah 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 blah, like you're not gonna be like, well, actually there was no impressions in that. You know what I mean? You're not gonna look back and miss it if he does a good job.
That's true. I would say I would be disappointed if he can't pull out, like, not necessarily impressions, but little characters within. Because that's ultimately what the genie does. It's a bunch of different characters, whether it's impersonations that we know of or...
Mm-hmm. Or
know,
a bee.
Or a bee, yeah.
Mayday! Mayday! That's my favorite one.
All the above.
Bee
so, yeah,
yourself.
He's in talks. It could happen. But I'll get back to you. I can't think of a really good choice for a live action genie. It's not a bad call, because you're right, he's got the energy. I think
David.
What, you want to be you want to be a prince? Fine, I don't just be a prince. I don't care.
That's pretty.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go back in the bottle. I'm not gonna go.
It's too small.
It's humid. not too much, just a little. A little humid.
I think that would be really funny.
I would love that. Just do the reverse, so it's not over the top. It's very subtle.
It's like throwing in the towel and saying, like, we can't do it.
We
can't do Robin Williams, so we're going to go the opposite.
Yeah. Just like a slow, like, this genie does not move. It's got its own genie chair that he's just sitting in, leaning back. You know, it's fine. I'll stay here. You go. You guys go to Agrabah or whatever.
I'm okay with the Cave of Wonders.
It's nice. It's, you know, it's luxury. Luxurious and spacious.
Okay, is that the news?
That's what I got for the news. And before we get to more into our topic, I thought it would be an opportune time to bring up our newly launched Patreons page. As the fans know, we here on Whale Pods got ourselves a Patreon for you at home.
This is like slowly going into Chris Walken.
I'm Chris. Chris Walken. Got a Patreon for yourself. Come over here, little friends.
What my friend is trying to say, I think, is that we have a Patreon.com.
Give me some money.
/WhalePod.
For my Patreons.
And what that is... you can go to this website that basically just supports us. So if you enjoy this podcast or any of the content that we've provided thus far, and you go, I think it would be better if there was more, then you give us a little bit of support, and then we kick back more stuff.
Hey,
that's how it works.
These guys, they got some good stuff. I want to give them some money so that I get more stuff.
Chris, get out of here, okay?
Hey, I'll see myself out.
I'm
freaking walking. Hate that guy. Freaking taking my seat.
I know, yeah. You took your headphones right
off. No, Patreon, that's a good time. And I want to be able to give the listener more content. So give us an excuse to give bonus commentaries.
Sure.
Give our warm-up before we do our episode. We always do some jokes or improv, whatever, just to get ourselves, you know, just in the zone, really.
So head on over there, and if you could, pick, like, a creative dollar amount. Like, if you could not do, like, just...
$500,000 is very creative of a number, I would say.
No, I'm saying, like, don't just do a dollar. Do, like, you know, like...
$18 million.
8 cents or something.
78 cents.
Yeah.
Yeah, real creative, Ben. No, but that's great, because $1, $2, $3, there's something for everybody based on the reward system. There's even some fancy rewards, like, you know, comedy figures
owning
of the
owning our
month.
Dead bodies.
Owning,
oh, sorry.
Legally owning our corpses. On my driver's license is donor to Patreons.
To be divvied up.
To be divvied up. Equally based on the amount of people who have purchased in advance. Maybe you get my bear paw. Maybe you get my arm.
Okay. We've spent way too much time on that joke.
It's a good one. I'm sorry.
So we're talking about... So now we're talking about dry comedy. And we're going to get into it, but we're going to give you a little brief history. RJ, if you could... verbatim, take us through that.
Let me dust off the old book. Get it? Okay. When speaking specifically about dry or deadpan comedy, it's important to note the major distinguishing factor: delivery. This type of comedic delivery relies on the performer being more reserved or detached from the situation or joke. In contrast, more zany or over-the-top comedy involves ridiculous sounds, facial expressions, or laugh tracks. I mean, we're just talking about the genie, for crying out loud. Like, that is the definition of over-the-top comedy.
Absolutely.
Now, the expression deadpan comes from slang of the words dead and pan, referring to one's face.
Genius.
Yeah. Uses of this date back to films in the 1920s and 30s when speaking about being emotionless, expressionless, or dead in the face. Dry comedy has taken many different forms and is difficult to pinpoint its origin. But I'll tell you this, Whalers, a little exclusive.
I'll tell you this.
Vaudeville might have helped propel it into the spotlight. Famous silent film actor Buster Keaton notoriously used deadpan, all because he realized his stoic expression received more laughs than when he smiled.
And, man, he has the best stoic expression.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, he... Oh, shima knee. Golly, Baba. Just destroying our studio. Sorry, Whalers. This is embarrassing for everyone here, even Chris. I'm sorry, Chris. It's okay, friends. Take your time. I love the studio audience here.
Chris, you can step up to the mic. It's okay.
No, he's in his seat. I told him to stay.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good. Sorry about that. My mic, I futz with it too much, and it kind of just came undone.
Yeah, it was like...
But how do I sound? Do I sound better?
I quit.
I sound all right?
You sound great.
All right. Well, okay, as I was saying... Sorry, it just took me right out of it.
I know it.
Yeah, Buster Keaton, he had, like, the best deadpan face. He had the bug eyes.
Yeah.
And, like, he looked like nothing. You know what I mean?
He looked like the absence of expression.
Totally, that's what...
Well,
yeah.
And that really is, like, the, I mean, golden age of this kind of deadpan style. All this vaudeville, you know, physical, silent comedy relied on up-close shots of... You know, these comedians, and they have one of two things to do. You go over the top, or you look just dead stare, right. Like, brother, bully, kind of face.
Totally.
So, obviously, Buster decided, you know what? These smiles ain't getting the laughs I want. I'm going to reverse this and turn that frizzown right side uppity. Right? Is that
sure.
The phrase?
I don't think you have to turn the frown anywhere. It just kind of stays.
Yeah. Keep that frown exactly where it should be. Is the phrase, I believe.
Yeah. Nice. So here's the question we always ask. Why is dry comedy funny? And this is the answer. Dry comedy is funny because it betrays the natural reaction to life's circumstances. Rather than an extreme display of sadness or excitement or horror, dry comedy relies on the opposite of that to showcase the mundane, the morose, and the dead serious. We expect to see a man scream for his life as an asteroid comes falling out of the sky towards him. But dry comedy sleepily yawns and says, I probably deserve this. Or... Did I lock the front door? Dry comedy is not strictly a style of comedy, but rather a tactic that can be used to bring about a new perspective. And the key always lies in the delivery. And the best deadpan delivery will always surprise the audience and get a laugh.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's interesting because dry comedy can open the door for more highbrow comedy, dark comedy, like meta fourth wall kind of, we know the audience knows that I'm in a show and I'm, you know, rolling my eyes. You know, the very Bill, we talked about Bill Murray episode. He knows he's in a movie. The character knows he's in a TV show and he's rolling his eyes. They're like, oh boy, gotta bust some ghosts again, kind of a thing. And that's double funny. It's dry and it's meta.
Yeah, so, or even like intelligent humor, kind of like witty.
The asteroid falling towards one's face. I mean, that, you know, I think that's right on. The dry comedy is the, oh, I hope that asteroid doesn't hit me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you go, that opens the door to dark comedy, which is, well, today would be the right day to die.
Totally.
Like, it's, you know, Garfield.
Yeah.
Drag comedy is Garfield. I hate Monday. No, is it? No, he's just a complainer.
Yeah. He's just Garfield. Yeah. But, like, for our asteroid example, like, for me, this is how my mind works. I see in, like, movies or film, like, you have to really picture the contrast, right?
Okay, yeah.
So you see, you know, somebody point to the sky, and then the music picks up. Everyone looks skyward, and there's an asteroid headed right towards everyone. Everyone's freaking out. They're running and going this way, and then, poof, like, static cut to a guy standing, looking deadpan, no facial expression, and just saying, I hate Mondays.
Yeah, exactly.
Then all of a sudden, you know, that line is like used in the context of, you, this is not how you should be reacting.
Right, right. And that's funny, because I would even say, like, nowadays, like, the I hate Mondays Garfield line,
mm-hmm,
is so taboo that it's like, it's, you know, it's not very dry anymore. Yeah. It's like, ugh, I hate Mondays.
Well, yeah, I was just using that.
No, but I'm just laughing at that. Like, if someone did that in a movie nowadays, I'd be like, next! Get him killed by the asteroid!
I don't know. If they did it right, I'd give a chuckle.
Yeah. I think, like, now, like, a lot of the dry comedy that we'll see, like, even in, you know, Rick and Morty, this segue into dark comedy, we'll see people, like, actually die.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, the asteroid example, where maybe like 20 years ago it was like, I hate Mondays, people like, ah, mm-hmm. Nowadays they'd be like, I hate Mondays, and then the asteroid, like, crushes his skull and just kills him,
right?
And the audience is like, ah, like, that's what people want now.
I even think about one of the things that we talked about on the Rick and Morty episode was that moment when he shoots Uncle... Oh, shoot, what's the uncle's name?
Uncle Joey.
Jeff? No, Cousin Joey is... But anyway, it's like that moment where everyone freaks out, and Rick is just like, don't worry, he's not real. Like, he's a parasite.
He's a dimensional parasite.
It's such a good contrast.
Yeah, all of Rick's delivery is deadpan.
Yeah.
All of it. He's basically emotionless.
Unless he's a blips and chits!
Blips and chits!
I'm sorry, guys, but this is the second time we've yelled that, and it's just so fun.
Yeah.
Okay, but...
There's not a lot of reasons to yell blits and chits. Except if you're on a podcast.
Talking about Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Grass tastes bad.
Oh, yeah, his catchphrases.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's like a total another example of how he knows he's in a show.
Yeah.
He has,
like I said, dry comedy is the gateway. Dry comedy is the suggested weed of our generation.
So does that make, like, meta... crack?
No, that's like heroin.
Yeah, it's a downer.
You have to whisper when you say heroin. So that the people who want heroin don't hear you say heroin. Because if they hear you, then they'll wonder why you're saying heroin. That's stupid.
Anyway.
No drugs are related to anything in comedy. It's purely a...
Yeah, no comedian's ever taken drugs.
Okay? No additives in so, comedy.
But yeah, let's get into some, like, you know, modern stand-ups who use this tactic. Would you say Louis C.K.?
Yes, I would say Louis C.K.
So give a solid Louis C.K. example.
Okay, well, I mean, just off his last stand-up, he opens, like, he walks out... which reminds me of kind of the Jim Jefferies opener from his last stand-up special, but Louis C.K. walks out and he's like, I want to tell you what I think about abortion.
Oh, gosh.
And just right out the gate, just this can of worms.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, no, he's going there already. And, like, just straight face, just being like, no, I want you to hear me out. Like, women should decide... who lives and who dies. They should. They have that right. If they have someone inside them, you should... You can kill someone in your house. So you should be able to kill someone inside you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not that they should all the time, but they should be able to decide that. Like,
those are my favorite Louis C.K. moments when he's like, not that they should. Like, he's trying to, like...
None. Like, pump the brakes. And there was even multiple times in that special where he's like, okay, stay with me here. Like, in the first 30 seconds, like, stay with me. I'm not saying abortion is good. Like, listen to me. Which is very reminiscent.
But I always, I mean, I'm not sure about that specific joke, but I always picture Louis C.K. with, like, when he brings stuff up, he kind of has that subtle smirk where he's like, he's like,
he knows.
I know this is a ridiculous thing to bring up, but you got to hear me out. Like,
yeah. And well, okay. So, and to your point, another thing he talks about in this special is how, of all the religions, Christians won. And he's talking about this, and you're right, with the smirk on his face, and he's like, you know, Christians, they won. And you, you know, look around and you point to, well, what year is it? Well, it's 2017. It's just a number, 2017. 2017 from what? We have a global system that's based around Jesus. Hmm? And what about before that? Were people walking around like, oh man, glad it's -8? No. What about those years? You think they were calling? No, no.
That's funny.
So
that's good.
It's a good bit.
I think even more deadpan you can get with Zach Galifianakis. I think about one of his specials. He does this bit where he's playing the piano and during the intro. And he goes, hey, welcome to my special. My name's Zach Galifianakis. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah.
And it's like the subtle, under the breath, something you would say commonly, but said about yourself in a context that's just like so outlandish.
Yeah, and it is so, so much the delivery of it all. Because, you know, for instance, this next joke isn't necessarily dry, but he maintains like a static tone through it all, which is... When do you tell a highway that it's adopted? And that's like, and you're right, he's playing the piano through the whole thing. And it almost takes like a ba-dum, like for the audience to kind of like get with it. And he's the comedian that definitely doesn't laugh at his own stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there are some comedians like Pete Holmes who can't help. I mean, I agree. Some of your best material, like you have to enjoy as well.
Yeah.
So you're laughing at your own shtick, which is great.
Yeah. I think Louis C.K., Jim Gaffigan always have that little smirk. Like,
yeah.
They know that this is really funny, but this is, you got to hear me out on this. But people like Dimitri Martin.
Yeah.
Like, he's totally stark faced the whole time.
Yeah. And that. I love that.
Yeah.
I think, especially, it's interesting. Sometimes he's playing to music as well, just like Galifianakis. So with the music, you know, it really provides a more colorful experience for the audience.
Yeah.
But then to deliver something like, is at what point does trying to catch a fly with your hands become applause for the fly?
Yeah, well, that's the good thing is the contrast between the two.
Right.
You know, music by nature is very colorful and, you know, adds, but he's saying everything very expressionless and emotionless.
Right.
You wouldn't want to add music on top of Brian Regan because then that's color on color. Like, there's too much going on.
That's,
you know what I mean?
3D, baby.
Yeah, serious. But like, that I think of Brian Regan as the opposite of deadpan because he's so expressionful and so like there's so much emphasis in all everything he says.
Yeah, it's a good
where Dimitri
contrast.
Martin or like even Mitch Hedberg.
Oh yeah,
so good. You know, eyes down, glasses on. Just if it's a penny for your thoughts and shoot, what is the other joke? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember. That
oh yeah,
one.
He goes, if it's a penny for your thoughts and you give your 2 cents. Somebody's missing a penny.
Oh my God.
Or no, he's like, somebody's making money off of that. And it's so good. He's just like, you know, same cadence every time. Mitch Hedberg and looking down and saying a joke. Like,
what is a sesame. It's a way to open stuff. It's a street. It's a seed.
It's so good. I love it.
What's it grow into? We didn't even give him a chance.
Didn't even give him a chance. But yeah, so I think obviously we've talked about, you know, the delivery is the most important thing, but
yeah,
you can use that with contrast.
Right. And so we talked about some comics that for sure are heavily relying on dry delivery, dry style, deadpan style. But I think a lot of the modern comic, even like Kevin Hart, you know, another over the top, you know, very eccentric comedian,
not dry,
will use dry delivery for a joke. Like, yeah, it's not it's not an uncommon thing to just straight face, look into the camera,
right,
just stop all momentum to deliver this response.
Like we said, it's a tactic. Yes. So you can be known as a deadpan comedian, like using it for your whole career, or you can use it to affect, you know, in very key moments.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's people's prerogative. You know, you can do what you want, do what you like. But we're gonna talk more about TV shows. Ooh. And like how do you write out something that's deadpan or dry? Do you know what I mean?
You get a pen, and then you put it on a piece of paper.
You're not understanding what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Like, I mean, like, you know what I mean.
Was that deadpan enough for you?
Yeah, that was good.
Hey.
What, so, are we apes?
Yeah. gosh, that was embarrassing. So,
my number one example would just be Arrested Development.
You know, my number one example is everything that doesn't have a laugh track.
I don't think that's a staple, though. Yeah, I understand.
It's a surefire way to guarantee that it's not reliant. Like, that's
because I feel like The Office can fall into the deadpan category, but more often than not, it doesn't. Like,
yeah,
it's, more often than not, it's just nutball. You know,
well, sometimes they do have those nutball, like, you know, scenarios, but it's grounded in a very deadpan.
Because
I mean,
then
for
Jim
Carnella,
looks
what
at the
is, yeah, Jim's look at the camera, that is deadpan. That is 100% deadpan.
Because you're right. In Arrested Development too, there's a lot of wacky things happening. But what's his name? Friggin'
Jason Bateman.
He's just
Jamie Pajamies, that we just said. Jamie Pajamies also in it, but he's not deadpan at all. He's very eccentric character.
Yeah, Jamie Pajamies just straight on at the camera. I didn't say that, did I?
I swear
it kind of came out funny. Okay.
Jamie.
Okay.
Roll the tape back. Hit that little rewind 15 seconds right now, and you'll hear Jammy Pajammy.
Maybe.
Oh, my God.
We joked around in the beginning of the episode about Curb Your Enthusiasm. Another just like super dry.
Oh, man.
Like, yeah, just like sucking the.
Well, and I mean, and to add to the dry comedy delivery, it's not even necessarily how, especially when it comes to TV, how a character or a character is saying a line or looking at the camera or whatever, but it can be the whole, this moment that is brought into it. Just that vacuum of silence that just, just that deadness and like that quiet. And like, even when something bad has happened, now the delivery for the dry comedy is in this silence. And we're laughing at how no one knows what to do with this awkwardness. And we're all just kind of looking at each other. And it's silly.
Yeah. You couldn't be more right.
Could I?
Couldn't.
I don't know. Just ask Jammy Pajammy.
What are some good examples of deadpan or dry movies?
Because
there's a whole new bag right there.
Not to get too controversial, in your words. You always say controversy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I tried to make it. You did it great, buddy.
Thank you. I love Wes Anderson comedy. Very dry.
I see what you're doing.
Either you like it or not, it's very dry. Some of the most driest films he has: Rushmore, Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. I mean, Bill Murray being the late main character. His whole movie career is based on his deadpan, removed approach. So any joke he has, or the way these movies are structured, you know, it's so just at sometimes painstakingly dry.
Yeah. Pain.
pain. Yeah, Ben is hurt by a lot of the comedy there.
Yeah, no, I think I totally agree with you. Wes Anderson movies, I just find myself not laughing ever.
Yeah, and that's I agree with you, and I think almost for me, that's what makes me laugh. Does that make sense?
That's the most reverse logic backwards BS I've ever heard.
I'm going,
I've never laughed, so that's why I'm laughing.
No, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, oh my gosh, this moment in this film is so devoid. Like, in the real world, if this is a real scenario, this is so devoid of comedy, and these characters are not from this reality. Like, this just makes me... This is a silly thing to be witnessing, certainly. I don't know. I just... I don't want to get into it too much. But even, like, Coen Brothers movies.
Definitely, definitely.
Super dry. Mm-hmm. Very deadpan characters. The emotional removal.
And that, I think, does a really good job. Same with a comedian who's playing a wonderful little piece of music on the piano and saying something very, you know, without emotion. Coen Brothers, you know, they'll have ultra violence with somebody just like saying a statement that's like, dude, do you even realize that your friend is in the wood chipper right now?
Right, exactly.
Like, yeah.
I would even say that Tarantino uses some deadpan tactics.
Oh, absolutely.
Quite frequently, especially contrasting with violence.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, that's what I would say, like we said earlier, there are artists who are heavily relying on this dry comedy tactic, but, you know, even Tarantino uses these and just sprinkles it in with some of his stuff. And that's why I think, like, you know, even shows like Seinfeld, there's a lot of good dry comedy there, even though there's a laugh track, which I think to get back to the laugh track thing, like that gives it its own music of its own. You know, it's trying to like instigate that own reaction of laughter in your mind. But I think we're seeing more and more shows shy away from that in a lot of ways.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, you think of a Parks and Rec, similar style of The Office. Mm-hmm. The way they set up the jokes is just silence and a cut to Aziz Ansari's face going,
or treat y'all with ale.
Best day of the year.
But yeah, rolling the clock backwards in time,
whoa,
we can get back to Buster Keaton movies, like we kind of talked about in the history of it. Yeah, like the idea that something crazy, crazy outlandish would happen. You know, him getting picked up by a train or a building literally falling down around him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just, you know, a tight, you know, shot of his face. And he just like kind of just turns and gives like a sigh, like a shrug. Like, well, it's just this typical day. You're like, oh my gosh, do you realize what's going on around you?
Not at all.
And yeah, so I think that is kind of like early the birth of.
Yeah, it's the foundation.
That contrast, and I love it. The deadpan needs something crazy outlandish
to contrast it with. Yeah, and not even necessarily circumstance, but even in the actual words.
Content.
Yeah, the content of what's being said. So think of Lucille Bluth from Arrested Development. One of my favorite lines from her is her saying, "If that's an attempt at a veiled criticism, I won't hear it and I won't respond to it." Which is just amazing. She's, you know, drinking her gin and tonic, whatever, and just saying the thing that she's saying she wouldn't do.
Yeah, it's so good.
I think more and more. I said this on an Arrested Development episode. I think Lucille Bluth is my favorite episode. I was just on a road trip.
Your favorite episode? Character?
My favorite character.
I get you.
I know it. I was just on a road trip out to Zion National Park in Utah.
TFTI, bro.
Sorry. Yeah, I was a little busy. We had to drive through Arizona. And no offense to Arizonans, but I said this at least 5 times while I was there.
So good, I know what you're going to say.
I'd rather be dead in California than alive in Arizona.
Just the easiest diss ever.
I got out of my car. I didn't even know what state I was in at this point. I got out of the car.
Most people who live in Arizona could agree with that.
Hey, buddy, we're here too, and even we wish we were dead. No, I get out of my car. I don't even know what state we're in. And I'm like, oh, it's so hellaciously disgusting out here. Are we in Arizona or something? My wife's like, Actually, yeah. I'm like, oh, of course. Let's get out of here. Get the gas and get out of here.
Yeah, you are a prick.
Yeah.
So that's what we have for deadpan or dry comedy. If you want to email in and say, you know, maybe something we missed or maybe something you, some of your favorite ones, please do.
Favorite ones of anything in the world.
Of any type of movie or TV show or donut. Stand-up comedian that is deadpan.
Donut style. Why are you trying to derail appendage. This comment? I'm not derailing. It's a good joke. But, yeah, and even, you know, I could spend just hours even talking about how dark comedy...
You shouldn't. We only have, like, a couple more seconds left.
Okay, so let me make this real quick. The premise for dark comedy, in 1973, we're talking about existentialism. I'm just kidding. You want to cut me off?
You know what that means.
Okay. You missed an opportunity just to blast the theme song to cut me off, but instead...
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
You know what that means. It's time of the part of the show where we time of the part of the part of the time where we say some wacky facts, and by we, I mean me, and we rate them, and by we, I mean you, put them on a baseball field.
And by we, I mean I think you should take some Hooked on Phonics courses because that sentence sounded like you were having a stroke.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah. Good job.
Here's wacky fact number one.
Jamie McJamie. For these...
That's such a good character. Write that down. We'll remember that later. for these facts, I'm just going to pick some deadpan comedians that I admire and say some facts about them. Are you ready, RJ?
Oh, yeah.
Is the batter up?
No.
Not yet?
No.
Okay. It's just making sure you're ready.
Okay.
Here is wacky fact number one. John Cleese reached an adult height of 6'5". By the age of 13, he was already 6 feet tall at the age of 12. That's the wacky fact.
Wow, that's pretty wacky.
Isn't that crazy?
That is wacky.
It's got nothing to do with comedy, but John Cleese.
But John Cleese.
And he's in the news.
He is.
Eliza.
Edith.
Edith. I was close. I knew it started with a... So put it on the field
that
there.
That is pretty wacky. That is a classic 6 foot John Cleese up to bat.
Mm-hmm. He's 12 years old.
Chris Walken throws the ball. John Cleese goes to swing the bat. Strike one. And John Cleese is like, oh man, good thing it's my birthday today. Or actually, oh, good thing it's my birthday today. And then do 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 do.
6'5",
baby. You know it. Puberty does wonders. And he's just tall enough to hit that next pitch. Boom! Goes straight for that ground roll double.
Nice. Here we go with wacky fact number two. Mitch Hedberg's style, or his signature style of wearing sunglasses indoors and staring at the floor, was due to his crippling stage fright. It was a way for him to make sure that he forgot about the audience being there.
Did he have crippling stage fright throughout his career?
Mm-hmm.
That's really
He never
crazy.
Stopped with the sunglasses and looking down at the floor.
Well, I assume that was like a mechanism early on that he just stuck with because it was funny and worked.
I mean, he never got over it.
That would be... I couldn't even imagine like just still having... being like so successful as a comedian.
Right, right.
And then being like... I just hate going.
I'm sure
there.
It wasn't as bad in later times, but everyone gets butterflies, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm nervous about this.
Everybody gets some
right
caterpillars
now.
And cocoons and praying mantis, all that.
So put it on the field there, Mr. All-Star.
Well, that's an easy, what's his face? Mitch Hedberg back up to bat. Yeah. And by that, I mean it's his first time.
Sure.
And they throw the ball. He's obviously not looking. He's looking down, so strike one. And he throws it again. The guy who's pitching throws it again. He's looking down, strike two. And the ump taps him on the shoulder. He's like, buddy, you got to swing. And he's like, what? Are you talking to me? Oh, you are talking to me. And he just swings the bat on pitch number three. And there we go. Connects. Right past third base. And that's an easy third base. Very wacky for you, sir.
Excellent. Well, here's wacky fact number three. In tradition of last week's episode, we're keeping it baseball. A baseball fanatic Buster Keaton not only held games in between. Stop doing that. You're going to run out of air. This is a long one. A huge baseball fanatic, Buster Keaton not only held games in between takes of his movies, but he also incorporated it into the applications for employment. According to the legend, two questions for being hired onto the set of one of his movies was, are you a good actor? And are you good at baseball? If you answered yes to either of those questions, you got the job. Isn't that funny?
That's good. What if someone was just like, oh, I know I'm applying for an acting job, but I'm really not confident in my acting ability. So I'm going to put no. Next question. Are you good at baseball? Oh, well, you know what? I am good at baseball. Yes, very good at baseball. And that's, you know, how the guy got his role.
Nice.
That'd be amazing. Okay, having stalled for that long, this is a very easy Buster Keaton at the pitcher's mound, and he's ready to get that last out on none other than Jammy Pajammy himself. And he's confident that Jammy Pajammy does not have what it takes. And so he throws the ball, and the ump is like, hey, buddy, are you a good baseball player? And he's like, no, but I'm a terrific actor. Swing, bing, connect, instant home run that turns into a firework. And everyone's like, oh, man, that's like a great thing.
Oh, wow. Multiple fireworks.
Yeah, it's like a whole show.
Wow.
For the kids.
One baseball, whole show.
For the kids.
Excellent. So a home run on strike three?
I'll take it. Yeah.
Woohoo! Well,
yeah.
On factory.
On factory. I was like, well, that wasn't... Yeah.
Well, that's all the wackies I have for the day. So you know what that means. It's time for hashtag whale mail of the week.
Yes, it does, good sir. And this week's hashtag whale mail of the week says this. Ben and RJ.
That's us.
That's us. Good job. I was wondering about you and your last episode with Don Rickles. You guys are funny, but would you have any insult to throw at Don Rickles today if you could? Just wondering, Justin, North Carolina.
Whoa. All right, Justin.
No, he was Justin, North Carolina,
and
he was wondering, because, you know, North Carolina
loves
Don Rickles.
Where did he go?
North Carolina.
No, he was just in North Carolina. Where'd he go after that?
Well, I guess we'll have to follow up with an email.
Okay, sounds good.
But what would I say to Don Rickles? I don't know if I would pick a fight with the guy.
Yeah, I'd be terrified. He's the king of insulting people, and right. I don't want to pick a fight with that.
Right, but if I had to throw an insult...
Yeah, you got it. It's a gun to your head.
Gun to my head. I go, oh, geez, Don, I didn't see you there. I thought it was just someone left their old leathery purse on the couch.
That's a good one. That's
oh, gosh. Bad. Don, didn't see you there. I thought somebody left a Ziploc bag filled with chocolate pudding.
That's good.
Yeah. They look similar, but it's still a funny thing to say, I think.
I don't even know if I would insult him. I'd just be like, Don, could you tell me all the funny stories?
You do the go the Andy Samberg roast route.
Yeah, like, just make fun of myself.
Don, you're so crazy. I mean, and old that, like, even me, I look up to you so much, and I'm such an idiot for doing that.
Yeah, that's what I do.
I don't, and that's what I love about, like, that Andy Samberg did that for James Franco's roast. Like, as someone who's an insult comic, like, you can't attack back when someone's like, man, you're the worst, Ben. Sometimes I just dream about you in my sleep and what it would feel like to kiss your mouth. Like, how do you follow that? Be like, oh, yeah, queer. Be like, I know it. I should be for you. It's like, how do you fight that?
It's totally disarming.
It is. So you don't got anything?
I mean, yeah, what am I supposed to say? I would just shake.
That's good too, Ben. What is he doing? You're shaking over here? What do you want, buddy? I think you're cool and stuff, Mr. Rickles.
Yep, that's what I'd say.
Oh, gosh.
Thank you so much for writing in, Justin.
You just pull a classic Jammy McJammy, give him the shakes, and you're out.
That was a really good whale mail.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was a really good one. Thanks, Justin.
Oh, my gosh.
North Carolina.
Yeah. Just in case, man.
Go NC State. I'm just kidding. I'm botching all the college teams.
Yeah, we love sport.
Sports with a Z. All right, but if somebody's looking to find us on the internet, RJ, where are they going to be headed?
Well, you can always find our podcast on the iTunes podcast app, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, or
Stitcher.
Stitcher, of course. Yeah, beat me to the punch. Congratulations. Also, we're a part of the
Pod Tyrant Network.
So go to podtyrant.com or
geektyrant.com
to hear more awesome podcasts about movies, TV shows, popular culture, you know, great episodes of Cinematic Sound Radio, Nerds and Nostalgia, watch some movies never heard of, a Screen Watchers Guild. They talk about all kinds of your favorite flicks. I hope they like our plugs. I'm sure that, you know, they're going to send us nasty emails about don't plug our podcast anymore. But
why would they do that?
I don't know.
They're rolling in their graves.
I don't think that's the expression you're thinking of.
Sorry, you're wrong. I mean, right.
Yeah, so anyways, check out our Twitter page at WhalePod, our Facebook page, Why Am I Laughing? And don't forget to email us at whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com. Send us anything. We read it. I'm talking recommendations, questions,
concerns,
other things, death threats.
Whoa.
That would be crazy. But it could happen.
It wouldn't be good.
Not bad either, because it'd be like, yo, I'm gonna kill you guys. You guys suck. Hope you die soon. Bye me. Bye. And we'd be like, whoa, okay. And then we'd read it, and it'd be really disarming for that person.
He'd be so bummed. He'd be like, oh, why did I sign my name and where I live?
Now I gotta send another email.
What's the second email say?
I didn't mean to send that first one. I thought it wouldn't be
right.
It was
a bunch of typos.
Ignore it. You won't get murdered. I promise.
And then that's definitely when we get murdered.
For sure murdered.
I've seen that Dateline 1,000 times. Two local idiots on a podcast.
These local friends thought they'd record a podcast and read emails from strangers. Little did they know they'd be recording their last words.
You literally said it seconds before me. We need to stop watching Dateline.
Yep.
If you want to follow RJ on the Twitterverse, you're headed straight to at Rodolfo the Brown.
And of course, we all know you can find Ben on Twitter at, it's pretty good. That's his Twitter handle. It's pretty good.
Thank you again for tuning in this week. We appreciate your listens. We got to thank Ben Sound for our theme music and Wolfpack for our outro music. Man, if you want new episodes, come on back every single Why Am I Laughing Wednesday. Next week, we're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Hell yes.
Just in time for Guardian Volume 2.
Hells yes, sir. I'm very excited. This is a great movie, and some of you at home are like, wait a minute, that's not a comedy. You can't do it. Screw you. It's our podcast. You can do whatever
we
want. And it's funny. So we're going to talk about why it's funny. It's a fun time. Can't
Absolutely.
Wait.
Well, that means we're going to leave you with what we always leave you with, and that would be comedy.
Bear claws. Oh, sorry.
It's all about. You got to wait for the Jammy Jams.
Jammy McJam. Our real podcast item.
I farted and it smells.
What the hell?